Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anna Mateo, Phil Dierking, and Susan Shand. But first, this report.
Paula Molina Acosta's concerns for her own safety on her college campus first started to grow over a year ago. Molina Acosta studies at the University of Maryland, or UMD, in College Park, Maryland. In the fall of 2016, students began seeing the words "Build the Wall" written around the school grounds. This was a term then presidential candidate Donald Trump used during the 2016 election to discuss security on the United States-Mexico border. Molina Acosta, who was born in Colombia, South America, says for students like her, the words feel like a threat. Then, in March 2017, a student reported seeing a noose hanging in the official housing of one of the school's social organizations. Nooses have historically been used as weapons against African Americans and are still seen as a symbol of racial violence. 2 months later, an African American student visiting from Bowie State University was murdered on the UMD campus. A white UMD student suspected of the attack now faces charges of a hate crime.
In light of these events, Molina Acosta says she wants her school to do more to limit speech and actions she says are hateful. The challenge, she notes, is balancing these limits with the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment, which protects Americans' right to speak freely. We all have a right to write or say what we want to, as long as it doesn't incite violence, Molina Acosta told VOA. And of course, that right has to be protected. But at the same time, ideologies like that are tied to racism, which is connected to inciting violence. A new study looks at exactly the issues Molina Acosta is weighing. The study finds that a majority of today's college students in the U.S. value diversity more than protecting free speech. The study, released in March, is a shared effort from the research company Gallup and the nonprofit organization The Knight Foundation. In 2017, the two groups asked over 3,000 college students from across the country about how much they valued diversity and free speech.
One major question was, if you had to choose, which do you think is more important? About 53% of surveyed students chose a diverse and inclusive society over protecting free speech rights. Brandon Bastide is the executive director for education and workforce development at Gallup. He offers a number of reasons why students may value diversity over free speech. For one, the college student population in the U.S. has become increasingly diverse. Bastide points out that the majority of white students chose free speech over diversity. However, Bastide argues that the preference for diversity over free speech is not the only important point to come from this study. He notes that 56% of the surveyed students feel that protecting free speech is important to a democracy. And 52% say the same about including and protecting different kinds of people. So it is not like college students today place little value on free speech, Bastid says. But in some situations, students might feel they have to choose between the two.
If you look at the questions we asked about them independently, they value both of them very highly, he said. But if you value inclusivity and diversity, and somebody is saying hate speech about, let's say, African American students, now you've got two things you believe in that are in conflict with one another. Still, Nico Perino finds the results of this study troubling. He is the director of communications for the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, which fights to protect free speech on college campuses. Perino says the movement to defend free speech has long been challenged by another movement, political correctness. The term relates to the belief that words or ideas minority groups might feel are insulting or discriminatory should be avoided. Critics of political correctness say efforts not to offend can be carried too far. Many American college students identified with the politically correct, or PC, movement back in the 1990s, says Perino. But he says the rise of groups like Black Lives Matter has brought renewed attention to it. The group campaigns on issues such as police violence against African Americans, as well as equality and understanding of the African American experience.
Perino argues it is the job of universities to welcome all kinds of ideas, especially ones that some people might find problematic. Otherwise, students may not be able to fully examine those ideas and possibly solve the problems surrounding them. Also, diversity not only means including different races and ethnicities. It means accepting people who think differently from you, he says. Perino says he has no problem with debating or peacefully protesting, but he worries that limiting hate speech may become a form of violence itself. What is more, he says, trying to silence speakers who express hateful views may accidentally result in supporting them. For example, Milo Yiannopoulos is a writer known for supporting ideas that many find offensive. In his speaking and writing, he has attacked Muslims, feminists, people whose appearance he does not like, and many others. In February 2017, he was supposed to hold an event at the University of California, Berkeley. But the event was canceled following violent protests. In the weeks after, Yiannopoulos' book became the top seller on the website Amazon.
Perino says students must understand that the U.S. Supreme Court has never provided a legal definition of hate speech. Therefore, schools cannot limit a person's speech, even if it makes another person feel unsafe. And that is with good reason, he says. The reason is the question, who decides, Perino said. Who decides what speech is allowed and who decides what speech is not allowed? In the era of Donald Trump, if you asked he and his administration to define what hate speech would be, my suspicion is it would be groups like Black Lives Matter. It would not be, for example, the Milo Yiannopouloses of the world. Paula Molina Acosta of UMD agrees that open discussion between people who hold opposing beliefs is important, and violence is never the answer. Given the choice, she says protecting free speech is more important than diversity. But Molina Acosta does wonder if there is middle ground between the two sides of the issue. She admits that students may not be fully right in their aim of banning everything they consider to be hate speech. After all, she is only 19 years old and does not have all the answers, she says. But she also believes the next time someone draws an image related to Nazism, as was the case at UMD last October, university officials should take action. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Hello, and welcome to Words and Their Stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore common words and expressions in American English. In the United States, April 1st is a day when you need to be a little careful. Why? It is April Fool's Day. So someone might play a practical joke on you, a harmless trick for fun. We did a program on fool expressions a couple of years ago. We explained how to use foolhardy and foolproof. We talked about the idiom, a fool and his money are soon parted. But we left out some things. So, here we are, again talking about fools. Probably the most common definition of fool is someone who is silly and, well, foolish. It is very easy to trick a fool. To fool can also mean to pretend. For example, the child said he was sick, but he was only fooling. He was in perfect health. If you say, "I was only fooling," that means you are not serious. You are kidding. So if you say something to someone as a joke, but they take you seriously, you can say to them, "I was only fooling." Here, you could also say, "I was only kidding." We often pair fool with the verbs play and act to form the expressions play the fool and act the fool. They both describe someone who is easily tricked or deceived. Or sometimes, we play the fool because we fall deeply in love and cannot think clearly. Sometimes we use it to describe someone who is not easy to fool. For example, if your friend John is really smart and not easily tricked, you could say that he's not one to play the fool. If that is too wordy, you can simply say he is no fool. If you make a fool of yourself, you do something that makes you look foolish or silly. For example, imagine you are at a party. Suddenly, your best friend sees a young woman who he really likes. He wants to get her attention, so he starts dancing. But no one else is dancing. In fact, there is no music playing. You calmly go up to him and say, "You might want to stop. You are making a fool of yourself." But making a fool of yourself is better than making a fool of someone else. That is just mean. If a person tries to make a fool of you by yelling at you in public, just walk away. He will end up making a fool of himself. Now, if you are fooling yourself, you are unwilling to accept the facts of a situation. In other words, you are in denial. If you think that you can learn perfect English in a very short time without studying or practicing, you are really fooling yourself. Now, when we pair the word fool with around, we get an expression that has several meanings. One is to spend time without any purpose. If you have the day off from work, you might decide to fool around all day. Another meaning is to behave playfully. The two friends were fooling around near the train tracks when they heard a call for help. But be careful, fool around also means lighthearted sexual activity. For example, the husband and wife were fooling around in the kitchen when their friends and family walked in for dinner. Awkward. In these three examples, you could also say mess around. It has the same meaning, and we use it in the same situations. Finally, we often use the word fool in warnings to others. For example, don't fool around with that. You will break it. Or, stop fooling around. And the ever popular, this is no time to fool around. I'm Ana Mateo, and that's the end of this program. And this will be the last Words and Their Stories ever. I'm Just Fooling. We'll be back next week with a new show. No fooling.
Life for women in Saudi Arabia is changing quickly. They are now experiencing new freedoms, such as riding a bicycle. The government announced the new policy earlier this month. These freedoms are important for Saudi women like Amira Al-Turkestani. In 2015, Amira finished her studies in the American city of Boston. While living in Boston, she rode a light green bicycle. When she was preparing to return to her home in Jeddah, she decided to take her bicycle with her. Her friends laughed at the idea. They told me, "What will you do with it in Jeddah? Hang it on the wall?" she said. Riding a bicycle in public as a woman was unthinkable at the time. In Saudi Arabia, religious police watch public spaces to enforce conservative dress rules, bans on music and alcohol, prayer time store closures, and the mixing of unrelated men and women. Now, 3 years later, Amira often rides her same green bicycle along Jeddah's seaside paths. Sometimes she rides by herself, other times with her husband and children. The new policy says that women must still be covered in an abaya when riding a bike. Abayas are loose-fitting, full-length robes. They are required public dress for Saudi women. But abayas are changing too. In the past, women could only wear traditional black abayas. Now, Amira chooses from several colors of abayas. She designs them herself. Jeddah today isn't the same as Jeddah 5-6 years ago, she said. The scrutiny on clothes has eased. There's more places to go. Working opportunities for women are the same as for men. In recent years, Saudi Arabia has been changing from its more traditional past. under a reform program aimed at modernizing the kingdom and reducing its economy's dependence on oil, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has eased social restrictions. He has also ended a 40-year ban on movie theaters, and he has reduced the activities of the religious police. Last year, the government announced it would permit women to drive cars, something Amira is very ready for. "It's not like I want to drive just because I want to drive," she said. "It's a need." Amira is a 30-year-old mother of two children. She has a full-time job teaching graphic design at Jeddah International College. She works on other design projects outside of work as well. And she sells her handmade abayas. In her free time, she does yoga. She also does strength training at an exercise center. Amira is part of a young generation of Saudi women seizing new chances. Yet she realizes that not all women in this country of 32 million people have the same chances as her. Tribal customs, authoritative male relatives, and religious conservatism keep many Saudi women from having the same rights. "She can be modern, but her family isn't," Amira says of Saudi women. "She can be like this, but her husband doesn't allow it." She adds that she believes some people oppose the new reforms. "There's a change, that's true. But I'm talking about something very minuscule," she said. "I don't know about other places, other cities. I'm just talking about Jeddah." I'm Phil Dierking.
Vietnam is reported to be quietly developing a state-supported fishing boat militia to hold off China at sea. The fishing militia is being created at a time when the two sides talk about easing territorial disputes. That is the opinion of experts who follow those disputes. Vietnam watchers say the country is asking its commercial fishers to use stronger boats and take military-trained people to sea in case of a clash with Chinese fishers. China has its own fishing militia operating in the same waters. "I think it's a good policy to avoid future conflicts where militia fishermen are out in the sea," said Chon Nguyen. He serves as Dean of International Relations at the Ho Chi Minh University of Social Sciences and Humanities. Vietnam has been working to develop the fishing militia since at least 2009. Over that time, the two countries have been holding talks. Just last week, Vietnam's Communist Party General Secretary met the visiting Chinese Foreign Minister. The party official suggested joint safeguarding of maritime peace, China's Xinhua news agency reported. Vietnam may be trying to appear strong now in case talks fail to produce results, noted Eduardo Araral of the National University of Singapore's School of Public Diplomacy. The Vietnamese fishing militia has not gone to battle with China. If the militia did, it would risk facing the third largest military in the world. But Vietnamese military forces are arming fishing boats, said Southeast Asia expert Carl Thayer. That may be similar to the deployment of former soldiers to help keep order as needed on land in Vietnam, Thayer noted. The Vietnamese government requires conscription, he added, so fishermen would already have some military skills. Putting them at sea would just be getting people the right age and giving them that training, he said. All they did is move what they do on land, how to defend factories, and extend that to sea. Thayer is emeritus professor at the University of New South Wales in Australia. 13 fishing militia platoons have been helping more than 3,000 fishermen work near the Paracel Islands in the South China Sea. That information comes from a 2017 study by the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies in Singapore. China controls the Paracels, but Vietnam also claims the islands. The study found that more than 10,000 fishermen and about 2,000 fishing boats in southern Vietnam have received military equipment. In 2014, Vietnam prepared a list of rules to aid fishermen who build modern, large-capacity ships to expand their reach, the study found. It said Vietnamese banks had lent $176 million to fishermen for improvements to about 400 ships. China claims about 90% of the 3.5 million square kilometer South China Sea. Vietnam says it should control the sea's waters off its long north-south coastline, extending into the Paracels and Spratly Islands. Sailors died in clashes between the two countries in 1974 and 1988. In 2014, the deployment of a Chinese oil rig in the South China Sea caused a boat ramming incident at sea and deadly rioting in Vietnam against Chinese interests. China has long had its own fishing militia with military support and attention from the Chinese president, notes the United States-based Naval War College. Armed fishing boats help defend China's maritime claims by pushing away foreign boats, the Political Intelligence Service Stratfor reported in 2016. Five other governments claim all or parts of the South China Sea. They oppose Chinese efforts to build up and expand islands in the waterway. Vietnam and China often hold talks about settling maritime problems, but talks often fall short of a decision because of historic distrust, Araral said. He added that Vietnam may be sending China the message that while we talk, we assert our rights. A Vietnamese fishing militia will not be as large as China's militia, he said, but Vietnam feels it must try. I'm Susan Shand.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.